I had an impression while we were singing the Spirit. Good morning, Reese. Hello, everybody. I missed you all. while we were singing the Spirit, I had this sense of light pouring down from heaven, golden light pouring down from heaven. And I just had the sense in my heart, I'm in a puddle of your love, God. And it was just so, such a good place to be. But as I was singing some more, it was like when you have a stage show, the star in the stage show, there's a spotlight on that star, and it follows that star wherever that star goes on the stage. And the sense I have is all the world is a stage, and we're players, and God's light, His spotlight is on each of us, following us wherever we go. It's to go and say, look at my star, look at the apple of my eye.
Amen. Amen. Okay. I hope we're already getting a little bit looser in the worship. That's the idea. We want loose. You must be able to touch your toes after this, unless you're Adele. Then she must be able to touch your toes. Okay. Last night we spoke about praising God with understanding. And the idea behind it is that true praise is when you and I come to understand the greatness of God. That is true praise. It is a waste of time, not a waste of time, but it's just powerless praise. If you say, our God reigns, but you have no clue what that means. You just don't understand that. In your life, God doesn't reign. You don't have a revelation of it. So we need to trust the Lord for understanding. So this morning, I want to share a little bit with you about the presence of God. There's a scripture, Psalm 97. The scripture says, the Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightnings light the world, the earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples see his glory. I think that's a beautiful scripture. There's this one album of Michael W. Smith where the guy speaks this scripture, and then at the end of that he goes mad. And all the peoples shall see his glory. Okay. We'll get there later. We'll get there. Okay. But, and last night when we were worshiping, I just had this song in my heart that I just felt like there's a beat. There's like a beat in heaven. There's like a drum beat in heaven. But I just felt that we need to listen with the eyes of our hearts and listen and see with the eyes of our hearts to hear that beat. To see the armies of heaven moving forth to cause the kingdom of God to come. And if you and I, maybe I'll ask you guys this. What is heaven? What defines heaven? God's manifest presence, yes. Amen. Yeah, heaven is called heaven because God is there. And the same way we can have heaven on earth if God is in our midst, or if we are in the midst of the manifest presence of God. So imagine you're living in a world where everything is gray. Everything's gray. There are no sounds. Everything's gray. There are no good smells. Everything just stinks. And then you step into a place where there's full color, beyond Blu-ray color, beautiful sounds, the most wonderful smells. You've seen it, you've experienced it, and now you step back into the gray world where there's no music, no nice smells, no beautiful colors. I believe that's the same when you have tasted of the presence of God. Previously, this is all you knew, the grayness, the emptiness, that's all you knew. You didn't know better, but now you have tasted, now you have seen, now you have smelled, now you have heard. And now when you go back, you just realize, I want that. And that's in a sense that I could say that's happened in my life. I've tasted of the presence of God, and everything else just became dreary and dry and empty. This world cannot compare to the presence of God. But if you have tasted of the presence of God, that will become your one and only true aim. If you have really tasted, if you have truly tasted, if you've come to know the presence of God, that's going to be your aim. That's what you're going to desire. You just would want the real thing. And that's in a sense where I am at when it comes to church. I'm saying, God, we want the real thing. We want the real thing. Nice band, but without your presence, we're wasting our time. We want the presence of God. That's when life is real. That's when things work. And so there's, I want to play two guys off before you. The one is King Saul, and the other one is King David. And there's a massive difference between the two. Both were king, both were chosen by God, but the one never even desired to bring back the tabernacle to Jerusalem, the Ark of the Covenant. He had no desire for the presence of God, and so he never brought back. He didn't even try. Then on the other hand, you had King David. One of the first things he did was, let's bring the presence, let's bring the Ark of the Covenant to Jerusalem. King Saul, King David was obsessed with the glory of God. King Saul was obsessed with the glory of self. King David was a true worshiper. He worshiped God. King Saul was a worshiper of self. He even put up a big statue for himself. And he was still very religious. He still spoke to the prophet and he went through all the sacrificial stuff. But he was obsessed with himself. King David was obsessed with God. And so King Saul had very little grace, but King David had lots of grace. Why? Because he loved God. He loved the presence of God, and he wanted to glorify God. And the two could look very much the same on the surface. And so we need to ask ourselves, where are we at? Where are we at? What is our passion? What is our priority? Is it the glory of God? Is it the presence of God for His sake, for His name's sake, or for self? I want to show you a video clip. This sort of illustrates worship of self.
It's all about me. Really.
It is all about you. Now, the greatest collection of me worship ever assembled on one CD.
It's all about now, I lift my name on high.
All 20 songs, all about you. This amazing collection is great to share with friends, if you have any. Everyone can join in the worship with you, for you, and about you. Because you are unique, and you love you.
There is none like me. No one else.
All this
can do
for only $19.95.
Like
operators
do
are standing by to serve you.
And I am why I sing. And I am why I live.
If you order now, you'll also receive a second CD of Yule Tide Favorites.
I sing. No come.
1-800-ME-ME-ME or order online at me-myself-and-I.com. Call today because no one can praise you like you.
Okay. That's sort of to make a point. I think it makes a beautiful point. So we can maybe try that later. But the scary thing is, I think it's very easy to do that. But we can sing the words, I praise you, but actually we're praising self. I know it's might sound, but I really realize it's so easy for us to actually just be obsessed about self. Okay, so where are we at? Where are you at? And who do we worship? Do we worship self like King Saul? Are we passionate about self? We passionate about God because we're actually passionate about self and we can get something from God? Or are we truly passionate about God? King David was passionate about the glory of God. He would go to any length. He would look like a fool for the glory of God. He didn't have an issue or a sock with what people thought of him or said of him. Okay, so what is the purpose of a church meeting? What is the purpose of a church meeting? Who do we meet with? Church meeting. I say, the idea is that we meet with God. Huh? Definitely a collective thing, yes. It's us meeting with God. The primary person that we meet with on a Sunday or at a church meeting is God. Secondary, yes, we meet with one another as well. But King David had this passion. He said, God, I want to build you a house. And then God's response was, David, nobody has ever been interested in building me a house. This is shocking. I can just see God's like, what? Everybody's always coming to me to get. Here's somebody different, and he says, God, I'm living in this wonderful palace. I want to build you a wonderful house just because I'm so thankful. And I just realized there's such a difference when we actually say, God, but what is on your heart? God, what is your passion? God, you are truly my passion. And as I'm praying that we'll get there. But when we desire the presence of God, then our priorities change. Our priorities change. Even Moses in the desert, he was saying, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, I don't want it. I don't want the promised land. I don't want glory. I don't want anything. I just want you. And I believe that's where God wants to take us, to bring us to a place where we are so passionate about him that it doesn't matter what he does. It doesn't matter the glory that comes with it. It doesn't matter the effect that, say, the church has or what God does through us as a group of believers, because we're so passionate about his presence. That's like, okay, God, that's your business. You're saving hundreds. You're saving thousands. You're changing our community. You are setting people free. You're healing people. Praise you, God. But our passion is you. I just want you. I believe that's the ultimate focus. That's when you're safe. That's when you don't get distracted. If, for instance, with a band, you know, I mean, the worship this morning is awesome. Last night's awesome. I mean, we've got great musicians. But you can very easily start worshiping the team. You can be standing and singing along and thinking, man, this is good. And we forget about what this is actually about. This is about God. I'd rather have one guitar, one vocal, and we praise God than being distracted by the big sound, although it's awesome. And that's so important. I must catch myself sometimes. I just want to kick myself and say, yeah, this is lekker. But I should say, no, God, you are awesome, and I'm worshiping you. So it's about a focus, our priorities. And that's where we need to trust the Lord for it. Because if he starts moving and he's our passion, we won't get distracted by miracles. We won't get distracted by whatever he is doing. And so we need to trust the Lord for that. Okay, so bringing back the glory, that's what this is about. We want the presence of God in our midst. So how? Number one, get a desire. 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 God, we want you. We want your presence. We want you. Even for the worship guys. Perfect sound is not sufficient. I'd have bad sound with the presence of God if I would have to choose. And so they say, God, that is our win. That is our priority, your presence. Now look at this, 2 Samuel 6, verse 3. Just after King David became king, they wanted to bring back the glory, the Ark of the Covenant. There's a gold box where the manifest presence of God was found. And so they did the following. And the first bit I want to share with you is man's way. They tried it man's way and people got hurt. And so it says there, so they set the Ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was on the hill. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. So they took the box, they put it on a cart, and oxen pulled the cart. And then in verse 5, it says, then David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord on all kinds of instruments of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. So, I mean, they did big worship. They did big band, which isn't wrong. But there needs to be one or two things in place before this works. And it says, and when they came to this guy's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. So, for the oxen stumbled, and so he wanted to save the Ark of the Covenant from falling off the cart. It says, then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him for his error, and he died there by the Ark of God. And so David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the Ark of the Lord come to me? So the God struck the guy, and he died there before the Ark of God. And David was afraid. He's saying, I so desire the presence of God, but suddenly I'm afraid of the implications of having the presence of God with me. Okay, so what is the wrong way of bringing the presence of God, the glory of God? Well, a new cart, it basically speaks of man's ability. Number one, man's way. They thought this is a good idea. Let's do it like that. But it speaks of man's ability, or it speaks of man's strength. So it would be, for me, it would be like a fancy band. We have a fancy band, so God's presence is going to come. We have fancy sound equipment, so that's going to cause the presence of God to come. Or maybe we're just fancy people, and so God has to come because we're such great people. Okay, so but what we need to realize is that our best is not good enough. We have to tell it ourselves. The musicians, your best isn't good enough to cause the glorious presence of God to come. Our strength isn't good enough. My preaching isn't good enough. My prayers aren't good enough. I can't make God come. My strength is not sufficient. The actual thing, what would happen if we would place our trust in those things, then somebody will get hurt. Because we move into the flesh. We move into our own strength. We move into our own ability. There's a humility by which we need to come and say, God, we're bringing you our best, but we know this isn't sufficient. There's something else we have been speaking about the past few weeks that is absolutely critical. But as I said, we are better off keeping it simple and humble and then saying, God, bless us with your presence. Man's strength will cause somebody to get hurt. And I just realize, you see, when it comes to the presence of God, or when it comes to meetings, church meetings, or anything else, and it's great. I mean, there's joy, and we enjoy one another, and there's life, and it's awesome. But I'm just thinking, shouldn't we maybe sometimes think about what are we actually doing now? We're stepping into the throne room of the living God. Shouldn't we maybe walk, I hold on a bit? Shouldn't I prepare my heart a little bit beforehand? Shouldn't I just sit for a bit? Just bring my heart before God beforehand, before I come to church, before we enter praise, before just storming in. Shouldn't we on an individual basis maybe just prepare our hearts and say, God, I'm coming into your throne room today. God, I'm stepping into your presence. And God, I want to do it right. I want to do it humbly. I want to do it reverently. I want to do it your way. Lord God, I come. Prepare me. Prepare my heart. This is something I was thinking about. Maybe we should prepare our hearts and realize what are we actually doing when we come to the presence of God. It's a holy moment when we praise Him. It's a holy moment when we praise the King of the universe. It's a holy moment. And we should think about these things. But man's way, somebody will get hurt. Look at this, Leviticus 10, verse 1 to 3. It says, then Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it. They put incense on it and offered profane fire before the Lord. What does it mean? They sort of just flippantly went, hey, let's go and do something there before the Ark of the Covenant. Let's take some fire and go. Let's just go. Eh? They didn't think about it. And it says, which he had not commanded them. And so fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And Moses said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke, saying, by those who come near to me, I must be regarded as holy. And before all the people, I must be glorified. And so Aaron held his peace. This is powerful scripture. I must be regarded as holy by those who come near me. I must be regarded as holy. If we come in our own strength, by God's grace, we will simply just not experience his presence. But if he would allow us into his presence and we come by our own strength and by our own righteousness, our own goodness, then somebody will get hurt. And so God must be glorified. We cannot come to church on a Sunday or to any other place and worship what's happening there. We can't worship shofar. We can't worship the system. We can't worship great fellowship. We can't worship wonderful people. We can't worship the anointing of God in the sense of a person. We cannot worship a worship leader. We cannot worship a worship team. We must glorify God. Don't know if I'm making sense. And maybe it's not necessary that I say it, but I just realized God is saying to me, if you want my presence, the fear of God needs to be there. The fear of God. The reverence for who God is needs to be there. We can't come flippantly. I remember there was a pastor of probably the fastest growing church in South Africa early in the last decade. And we heard some of the stories of him sleeping with ladies who weren't his wife. But the church was exploding, and the man was extremely anointed, and the people were really, I was in some of those services. The guy would make an altar call. I think it was about 2 months before the things happened. 2 months before, and still, scores of people would respond. There was such an anointing upon that place. And unfortunately, along with everything, there was pride as well, which the guys repented of later on. But what happened to this preacher was that he lost his marbles. He was unrepentant in his sin. And what happened was he found himself in a crazy place, crazy house. What do you call it? The Malays. Inrichting. And he was a special plekkie. Yeah. And anyway, but the thing is that I heard some of our leaders spoke about it. They took a video, and the guy could hardly speak. The quail was running down his face. He was like, he lost it. Because there was unrepentant sin in his life, and he thought he could get away with it. He thought he's been anointed so long, and God has let it slide time and time again. But then no more. And so then he was removed, and I understand that he completely lost it and he's on drugs and his mom committed suicide and He lost his wife and children, and he lost everything, and he had everything. He was probably the most anointed man that South Africa has seen in the last 100 years. Oh, that's what some guys say. And I'm sharing this because one can so easily become casual with the blessing and the presence of God. And I can see it, I can feel it on us as this church and on the worship. There is this blessing. I believe this year we're going to experience the presence of God like we have never experienced it. But if we start thinking it's because we are so good, we are so righteous, we are so anointed, then we're going to miss it. And so I'm sharing this, I'm preaching to myself as well. But I'm trusting that we would come humbly and carefully on holy ground. And I'm not saying we're not going to dance and shout and clap our hands, but it's just a heart attitude. We know why we can stand in the presence of God. We know why we come the right way. Unrepentant sin, God will not allow us to get away with it. I want to say it again. Unrepentant sin, God will not allow us to get away with it. Sin is not the issue. Unrepentant sin, unconfessed sin, hidden sin, that's the issue. And especially heart attitudes that are proud and selfish. We need to bring it before the Lord. We need to trust that God will shine His light upon our hearts so we can come in the right way. Acts 9:31. It says, then the churches throughout all Judea, Galilee, and Samaria had peace and were edified. And walking in the fear of the Lord, the reverence of God. It's not a fear like running away fear. It's a reverence of the glory of God. And in the comfort of the Holy Spirit, they were multiplied. Those two go hand in hand. The fear of God and the presence of God. The comfort of the Holy Spirit. The manifest presence of God always brings with it the fear of God. And so we need holiness, and so we need obedience, and so we need to come in the right way. So if you and I desire God's presence, you know, when we did that 40-day sanctification thing end of last year, it was really good for me. I'm still sort of just on the same road. Just don't want the stuff of the world. And I can just see the effect it has on my life. I can just see the effect it has on my relationship with God. I'm just closer. And so that's part of it. Just saying, God, I don't want to defile myself. God, I just can't stand. It's like where Sonic and I, that this is where we are at. We can't stand watching a movie where they swear. We just can't stand it. It defiles our spirit. And so we won't watch it. But you need to determine, what are you okay with? You need to determine, do you want the presence of God? Or are you fine outside? Okay, so that's man's way. If we do it man's way, somebody will always get hurt. But if we do it God's way, and for instance, with that preacher that lost his mind in a sense, do you know the damage that that did on thousands and thousands and thousands of people? Man's way always causes somebody to get hurt. Okay, so God's way. Now let's look at God's way. So David, King David, they realized wrong way was the cart, the oxen, our own strength. We need to do it God's way. God's way is 2 Samuel 6:12. Now it was told King David, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. Interesting, again, with gladness. He knows somebody could die, but this time he did it the right way. So he could do it gladly still. He didn't have to be afraid. And so it says, and so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Then David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. I believe there's so much in there. But the one thing is, all the house of Israel. I believe that's a picture for us. We need to do it together. If we want the presence of God in our lives, in church, we need to do it together. All of the house. And then instead of the oxen and the cart, they had men, the priests, carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. The Ark had these two long poles attached to it. And so they carried it on their shoulders because that was God's prescribed way. The presence of God doesn't fall out of the sky. The presence of God comes through man and woman. It comes through people. You and me are the carriers of the presence of God into this world. That is how it is chosen. We are the priests. God has said, you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. And so we bring the presence of God with us when we come in the right way. But these priests, they had holy robes on. And these robes, they were washed in water. Probably the water that came from the lavers. It was, in a sense, holy water, which represents the Spirit of God just cleansing them. And then their clothes were sprinkled with blood. So their clothes were set apart, was washed and set apart for this job that they had to do. But God uses human agents. And this, I think it's an awesome privilege. You and I have the privilege of saying we will bring and can bring the presence of God into this world. I think it's awesome. We as a church can bring the presence of God into this world. But I can just imagine these priests. Now they heard, last week somebody died for touching this golden box. So I just imagine the six guys standing there. Okay, who's going to go first? Okay, and then the one guy comes and he touches it. Ah! Just kidding, guys. I can just imagine him making a joke. Okay. Anyway, and so these six or eight guys, I'm not sure how many it was, and then they would pick up this ark and start carrying. But I can just imagine they were trembling. They were trembling, thinking, the other guy was my nephew, you know, or my brother, and we're carrying. And I can just think them just walking and just looking down at their clothes and just seeing the blood sprinkled on their clothes and saying, okay, it's okay. I'm covered. I'm covered. I'm covered. My sins are covered. I can do this. I've been set apart. I've been washed. I am righteous because of my sin that has been covered. I can do this. Guys, we can do this. Let's do this. And then there was sacrifice. Every six paces, they would stop and sacrifice animals. It was 10 kilometers at least. 10 kilometers that they had to go. Six paces, stop. Okay, sacrifice the animal. Blood. It was a trail of blood. It was a river of blood. The blood goes before the presence of God. The blood makes you and me righteous. When we are humble enough to say, I'm not a good person, God, but your blood washes away my sin. I come by the blood. I'm a priest. I've been sprinkled by the blood. I can. I've been anointed. I have been called. I have been destined to bring the presence of God to this world. Because of the blood. Because of the blood. And that is how we should do it. A few years ago when we came here with to sort of plant the church in prayer, one of the people saw we were focusing on the blood in that time as well. And one person saw like a royal carpet, a red royal carpet being sort of coming from heaven down to earth. And that spoke of us of the blood. It is the royal carpet. It prepares the way for God to come. So every six paces, it's always like it's first the blood, then the presence of God, and then follows extravagant worship. Then follows extravagant worship. I'm going to talk about that tonight. Extravagant worship. David danced. Everybody shouted. The trumpets were blaring. They were magnifying this awesome God. So what am I saying this morning? We need to desire the presence of God for His name's sake. One can desire the presence of God for our own name's sake. We need to say, God, we're passionate about You. We want to build You a house so that You can be glorified, so that Your name can be exalted, so that You can change lives, so that Your passion can be fulfilled. I have got such an expectation for this year. I believe we're going to see lives change this year. It's really, I just believe God's going to blow our minds. And this is key. Our worship, our praise. If we get this right in terms of coming the right way, the presence of God's going to flood our church services, and the lost will be saved, and lives will be changed for His name's sake. I just know it. I just know it. I can just see it. I see hundreds of teenagers. I see it. I see schools being changed. And we need to trust the Lord for that. But for that, we need to say, God, we want to bring Your presence. Show us how. Show us how. And then just what the Lord told me, I really felt that God told this to me. Ask me a question. Can I do something in this place that will get the attention of the nations? I said, okay, yes, Lord. But He said, then I'm going to have to do a deep work in your hearts. I'm going to have to do a deep work in your hearts. I'm going to have to do a deep work in your hearts. And so this is the journey we are on. We are on the journey of going to a place where God can do a deep work in our hearts, so that when the glory comes, only He will get the glory. That's what I'm aiming for. That's what I believe God is aiming for. So let's bring our hearts before God and trust Him to do a deep work in us. Father, we thank You. God, we thank You. God, Lord, I am so humbled by Your grace, Lord. Lord, for these wonderful people, God, that You've added to this church, Lord. Special, precious, loved by You. God, thank You. What a privilege of knowing You, of being able to worship You. God, being able to stand on two legs and sing with our voices, lift our hands. What a privilege, Lord. God, thank You for the privilege of being a part of Your plan for Shofar East London in East London, God. Your plan for East London. Your plan for the Eastern Cape. God, we can truly say we are a part of it. If Your glorious, massive plan for Your church in this country, Lord. And God, we realize this is so big. This is so massive. And You are so big. And You are so massive. And yet in the midst of that, You're pointing to our hearts and saying, what's going on there? Where's Your heart at? Who are You worshiping? Who is Your passion? And so, God, we confess, Lord, in our own strength, we'll just be selfish. In our own ability, we'll mess it up. But there's grace. So we call upon the grace of God this day. And we say, Lord, come and do a miracle in us.